Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be gone. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be gone.
Good evening, every listener. We thank God for another Saturday. Last week, I was out of town, but we thank God around this evening. Indeed, the week has been very, very, very loaded. A lot happening in the Middle East, Israel, to be specific, and the whole issues following it is something that's very interesting to look at as Christians, you know. And you know, people, you look at the news, people are asking questions: is this the end? And, I mean, no. But we'll talk about it this evening. So, thank you for tuning in. I'm Eben. This is Issues of Life. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. And I believe there's a lot to talk about. We look at some of the news and we get into the Bible. We can't exhaust everything tonight. God willing, next week we'll continue. But we are focusing on, of course, what is happening there. The major trending events on the news, what's happening in Israel. And that's what we'll be looking at this evening extensively. And I believe these are the times as believers to understand some things from the Bible perspective. You know, there are believers who sometimes even question, I mean, what is special about Israel? What makes them too special and all that? But the issue is about what's in the Bible. What has God said about them? What are the promises of God regarding Israel, Jerusalem and all that? So it's not just about being emotional about it, where you have people what is special about them, the Hamas people too, or the Palestinians are also human beings and Israel is killing them. So, you know, we hear all these things, we see all these things, but as believers, our decision making and our understanding and beliefs should not be based on what CNN or BBC, Al Jazeera, or whichever network is telling you. Our beliefs and understanding of spiritual things must be based on the Word of God. Find out. So, if your mindset is manipulated by the media, then clearly you have a problem as a Christian. I mean, because one thing is clear: the media is anti-God, one, anti-Christian, anti-Jewish, anti-Israel. The hatred for Israel is very manifest. I mean, you can clearly see it. I mean, BBC, for instance, has vowed not to use the word terrorist to describe the Hamas activities, even though even government ministers and all are putting pressure on BBC to use or to describe them as terrorists. That's a station. They say no, they will not. They have, you see, clearly, so you can see, and you see routes all over the place. Yesterday was the call for global activity. So after prayers and various countries protests, pro-Palestinian protests and all, you see, but when you see these things, you know, you shouldn't be moved as a Christian based on the fact that the networks will be showing, you know, there's also propaganda when it comes to these things, where they would want to highlight the plight of the Palestinians to make it look like Israel is the bad one out there. So all these things are coming. I mean, so but we'll talk about it this evening. And you know, so for those, I don't think there's anyone listening who is not aware of what has happened or what's happening in Israel, unless the person has been out of the system for this whole week, last week Saturday till now. He hasn't seen any news, watched any news, listened to any news. So it started last week Saturday in the morning. There was a surprise attack on Israel from the Gaza Strip. Indeed, this is, if there's one lesson to learn in this surprise attack, it has to do with not being complacent in whatever we do, or like limiting it to the spiritual life, our Christian life. There should be no room for complacency, because you see, everyone knows, and I read one interesting article this week, even they, the Palestinians, the Hamas guys, didn't expect to have it that easy. I mean, they knew they are going to face resistance, so even they were surprised when it's like, wow, I mean, no opposition. So you see, Israel was caught off guard. Complacency. I saw yesterday one CCTV news, camera recording of one of the communities that they killed about 100 people there. And there is a gated community, and when the Hamas terrorists were trying to enter, it was locked. But then they went, the guard, the security post, there was no one there. And it's like, wow. I mean, so you can see that there is a whole lack of security, and that's what happened. And they attacked, as at now, I mean, 1,300 Israelis killed so far, several, over 2,000 wounded and all that. So this is what we are talking about this evening, the issue of Israel. And you know, it's very important, because as believers, when we see these things, I mean, this week, one of the listeners, we were talking, Brother Ben, so does it mean, is this the end? I said, no. So let's just get into the right perspective of this whole discussion. And I think that will help a lot of people to get some clarity about some things. So thanks for tuning in. Let me get into the word of God. Let's start from Genesis chapter 12 verse 2, where it says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." This is referring to Abraham. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." All. You know, actually, if you even look at it in the right context, the blessings of the Arab countries is due to, because of this, because Ishmael is also a son of Abraham, legitimately blessed because of being a son of Abraham. So the Arab countries are also blessed by virtue of they being blessed, I mean, because of their being descendants of Abraham. So for the blessings, I mean, it cuts across. And you see, I started with this for people to understand something. The Bible is not out of touch or out of reality with the present world. Sometimes we have, or some believers believe that, the Israel we see today is not as relevant as it was in the Old Testament or in the Bible. But that's a great error, and it's wrong, purely wrong. The Israel we see today is a fulfillment of several Bible prophecies. Their existence even today is fulfillment of prophecy. They coming together to form a nation is a prophecy. They having the Hebrew language revived is a prophecy. I mean, there are several, I treated this some time back on this program. There are several prophecies which have been fulfilled by virtue of the existence of the nation Israel today. So for anyone to just downplay the existence of Israel as a spiritual thing or as an important thing to God, and the person doesn't even understand the word of God in the first place. Because if you understand all those prophecies as they've been fulfilled in this generation and in previous, and because 1948, I mean, Israel became a nation and all that, all these are prophecies. Their land will be fertile and all. I mean, can you imagine a desert place? But Israel has one of the richest land in terms of they even export, I mean, things, food. They export flowers and all. So it's like, clearly there's something unique about their land. And all these are prophecies which, I mean, but to, I mean, tonight, that's not the focus of this discussion. So when you have this nation being a blessed one that God decided to choose, if you read, for instance, when Moses was going to Pharaoh to talk about, like, I mean, God met him and says, Israel is my firstborn. You see, God sees Israel as not just as a nation like all other nations, but as a special case. And it was in the word of God, in history as it was then, and it runs through till now, because there are several things that still show that God has an interest in that land. You see, so as believers, we have to understand this. Let me read Psalm 122, verse 6 to 9. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. You know, Jerusalem would one day be the city of the King of Kings. Eventually, that's where Christ will reign from. I mean, we'll talk about these things later on, not tonight. But you see, so when you are talking of eventually Christ coming to reign, rule on earth, and all those who rule on earth, and it's Jerusalem that's the governing power, or the government of Christ, is Jerusalem that it will be located. You see, so Jerusalem is not just an ordinary city like New York, Accra, Kumasi. No. Jerusalem is the city of the King of Kings. So in as much as he's not ruling from there today, does not mean he doesn't care about what happens there. He does care indeed. And you see, you read Romans 11 and all, I mean, Paul writes about the Jews, their salvation. You see, so we just cannot rule them out as they are no longer relevant. And there are various doctrines that tries to make it look like the church, they call it, I think, replacement theology or something. The church has replaced Israel. So now we, the church, are the spiritual Israel. No. I mean, we are not the spiritual Israel. We have not replaced Israel. Israel is Israel and will remain Israel. The church is the church. We have just been grafted. We've just been added to. But it doesn't mean we've replaced. No, we have not replaced Israel. So when we understand these fundamentals, then we now understand that when we say, I mean, Christians are calling for praying for Jerusalem, praying for Israel and all that, it's a spiritual duty for Christians to pray for Jerusalem. You see, if I didn't read from some other religious book, I'm reading from the Bible. When it comes to Psalms, when COVID came, we were busy reading Psalm 91. Some days, people read all the Psalms, the Old Testament things, when it comes to do with blessings and prosperity. But then when it comes to things like this, Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You have Christians who are arguing that no, it's not necessary to pray for Jerusalem again. Why? Well, you can pray that, oh, okay, God should keep you under the shadow of his wings. That one, you believe that one in the same Psalms. But pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that one, you say, no, it's old. That one is out of touch with the reality. Wow. You see, we just contradict ourselves, pick and choose part of the Bible that suits us when it's convenient. But you see, it's purely based on lack of understanding of these things. That's why it will cause a Christian, cause a Christian to say that there's no need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. No. So we had Netanyahu, the prime minister, make a categorical statement: Israel is at war, and promise that they will retaliate, and they will certainly be on it now. And this war will be long, and it will be intense. It's a serious issue, because in having the hostages of 100 and something hostages being taken, dragged into Gaza Strip, clearly gives a lot of issues. But let me give a little background, maybe there are some who really don't understand some of these Palestinian issues and all back and forth. You know, Hamas is an aggressive militant and terrorist movement organization, so they are Palestinians. But the area, we have two areas where the Palestinians reside in sharing the land with Israel. So there's a Gaza Strip, which is a small portion where they have about 2 million or so Palestinians there. And the Hamas they rule that part, like the governing force over there. So they are really that brutal, even over their own citizens there. Then that portion, Israel used to be at that place until one of these international agreements and all that. So Israel had to give that part to the Palestinians. And so that's a strip. So it's actually, some call it the biggest open prison, because it's a strip bordering Israel and then to the sea and then a little of Egypt. So it's in a little corner down there. And Israel really doesn't give them, it's a very strict security issues there and all that, but they were able to breach it when they decided to attack. And then there's also this other group, that is Fatah. They are the West Bank, and the West Bank is that one, is the bigger part to the western part where the most of the Palestinians are. And that is where actually Israel has been concentrating a lot more there, because that's more of a bigger place. And it's the East Jerusalem share is part of West Bank. And the dispute is so if you hear they say two-state solution and there is dividing Jerusalem into two parts for the Palestinians to have the Eastern Jerusalem as their capital and Israel takes the West as the, you know, so it's all these things that we are talking about. So we have the West Bank, and that's where they are in terms of the larger population of the Palestinians. That's where they live. So basically, that's how it is. So Israel has been sharing this land with the Palestinians. So that's where the dispute is. This whole problem, if you are really going back, it starts from Sarah. If Sarah didn't introduce Hagar to Abraham, this whole thing would not have happened. Because this whole fight we are seeing, and all the other fights we'll be seeing in the Middle East and all, we've seen and we are seeing and we'll be seeing, is just descendants of Ishmael versus descendants of Isaac at war. That's all. That's this whole problem we have in this world. Descendants of Ishmael, descendants of Isaac. And so you see all the Arab countries, all the Arab guys, the Palestinians, all of them are descendants of Ishmael. And then Israel being, of course, descendants of Isaac. So that's this whole dispute. So this land belongs to us. No, it belongs to me. That's the whole issue of this Israel-Palestinian fight. I'm summarizing it. Simplifying it for the average person to understand. So with this understanding now, the reason why Hamas would want to do such a surprise spring attack on Israel is they don't recognize Israel as a state in the first instance. That's where the whole issue starts from. They don't recognize Israel as a nation or as a state. So to them, they see Israel as illegal occupiers of their land. It's funny, but well, that's the issue. So they claim, the Palestinians claim, that land is for them. But I mean, in principle, this land was given to them way back in the Bible era. It's not now. You see, if you take a map, you can Google Middle East map, check on your phone, you see the nations surrounding Israel are all in the Bible. Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, they are all in the Bible. The Israel we see, is it so? I mean, it's just funny how the Egypt in the Bible is the same Egypt today. The Syria in the Bible is the same Syria. The Lebanon is the same Lebanon. The same Jordan is the same. But when it comes to Israel, they say, no, you cannot be the same Israel in the Bible or in history. Now you are occupying this place. This place is for all day. So it's like the Arabs want to take that whole place for themselves. That's how the issue is. So this back and forth, and we are coming, all the years we hear backbiting, this is the same issue of this small land for Israel. So this fight has happened and it's still happening. I mean, it's still going on and all that. But then you see, the issue of Bible prophecy, it revolves around Israel, whether you believe it or not. Bible prophecy, you cannot talk about end time prophecy and leave out Israel. It's not complete. And you can also talk about Bible prophecy regarding Israel and leave out Jerusalem. That's also not complete. So you see, it's a major piece. Actually, one pastor puts it this way, that Israel is a signpost when it comes to end times. You cannot gloss over the signage regarding Israel and talk about end time completely. No. Israel plays a key role because, you see, a whole lot of things that will be happening in the end time, it will be revolving around, happening around and in the Israel zone. So we cannot take Israel out of the equation and say we are talking about the coming of Christ and the Antichrist and all these things. I mean, and leave out Israel. It doesn't work out because Israel is the main centerpiece and all these things revolve around it. That's how it is. So when you see a war like this, or you hear about a war like this, what did Jesus say about it? Let's get into Matthew 24 briefly. I mean, this one is a common part, but for the sake of this, then let's just read it. Matthew 24 verse 6 to 8. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. We are hearing it. See that ye be not troubled. Some versions say, don't be worried. Don't be perplexed. You see, this is Jesus saying, no, not me. He said, ye shall hear. Yes, so we are hearing wars and rumors of wars. Ukraine is ongoing. Troubles in the Burma is still ongoing. A whole lot of issues are happening in the world. Small factional fighting, tribal and all that. So for the wars and rumors of wars, yes, you shall hear them. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the next statement is what is instructive. But the end is not yet. So you see, for the wars, you see them. And we are going to see more. Oh, yes. But the end is not yet. So it means the wars and rumors of wars is not the end point. It's just a signage, signboard. Keep going. We are still going and we will be going. So when you see wars and rumors of wars, it doesn't mean that the end has come. No. Jesus says it's just the beginning. We are going to see more things. Verse 7 says, for nation shall rise against nation. Russia versus Ukraine, and you know, all sorts of tensions at other places. Kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences. We've had COVID. I mean, there's still famine, food issues. There are still warnings about food shortages. I mean, all these things are still happening. And earthquakes. In last week, Saturday, whilst the Israel thing was going on, there was a big earthquake in Afghanistan, but Israel overshadowed it. So it's like, it wasn't really, it was a big thing, over 2,000 died, but Afghanistan, people don't really care about them. So it's like their issue. I even wonder if they've even had any aid from other countries, because all eyes are on Israel. All eyes are on Israel. Every that one is a prophecy in Zechariah, I think. Yeah, Zechariah 12 or so. I mean, let me just check and read that one for. I'll make it a trembling cup or something. Zechariah chapter 12. I think. Yeah. Yeah. Zechariah 12:2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about. When they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. This one is a future prophecy which has not been fulfilled yet. But Jerusalem is something which you cannot ignore. The world cannot close the ears and shut the eyes to when it regards Jerusalem and Israel. No. You can't ignore them. And so let me just get back to what I was talking about. So Matthew 24, I'm still on it. So pestilences, earthquakes, and all that. Then verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Matthew 24, 8. All these. So this war you are seeing and you are hearing and you'll be seeing the course of next week and all that we are seeing is the beginning of sorrows. It's not the end point. It's the beginning, not the end. You see, when we have this understanding, there's no need to panic as a Christian. There's no need to be worried as a Christian. There's no need to stop thinking and stop planning as a Christian. You see, we can easily be drawn into the frenzy of, it's like, hey, the end has come type of thing. And there are some who reacted that way when they were seeing the thing is escalating and this and this and that. No, this is not the end. But it's still pointing towards the end, but not the end. Let's get the difference. So wars and rumors of wars is like a sign, signage, signboard, pointing us to where we are going. But we've not reached there. You see, I mean, if you read Luke 21, where Jesus even uses the phrase, the birth pangs, where for pregnant women can understand it, because the pain intensifies as the delivery date or time is getting closer. So the pain intensifies and the duration of the pain also shortens. So that's how it is. So we are seeing, if you look at some of the statistics regarding these wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, and all the UN reports, disasters and all, you see the numbers are increasing over the years. The number of earthquakes that happened in the 1800s, then the early 1900s into the 2000s, like the graph goes up in terms of general disasters. The number of people dying from disasters, the numbers keep going up. You see, so wars, there are more wars over the period, like the increasing, the numbers increasing. You see, so it fits exactly what Jesus talks about, the intensity, like the birth pangs. So it means we are going to see more and we are going to hear more. This particular situation can turn out into various scenarios. For instance, there's one thing you should look out for, and you are going to see it soon. I mean, you are going to see it really soon in the TV, in the news, in the sense that now you see this support for Israel, government, president, U.S. and all. I mean, everybody, sympathizing Israel and all. But then You see, this evening I was talking to a friend, we were discussing this. I was telling him that, you see, this whole sympathy from the government, US, Biden and all, it's not genuine love for Israel. It's like more of diplomatic and political. They have to, you just can't say you won't say I'm sorry. I mean, everybody has to say something. Even Ghana has also said something. Everybody is saying it. But it's not genuine love for these countries saying, oh, we support you, we support you. You see, because when the pressure, the media starts to highlight, you know, as the Israeli soldiers get into Gaza too, and the agenda is to really finish off the Hamas group, exterminate the group completely, that it will not exist again. That's what the president, the prime minister said, Netanyahu said. And their agenda is to exterminate the group, and Gaza will not be the Gaza. I mean, it will be a completely different thing. They are really running down the place. So the media will now start highlighting, they are killing the children, the hospitals are full, they are killing the mothers, they are killing the... So it will turn as if rather Israel is rather the bad guy. And now suddenly they are the ones, already they are being blamed in their protests. If you see some of the protests, large protests in London and New York and all. So it will intensify when now the media starts to showcase and highlight the errors or the attacks of Israel on the Palestinians. And it's like, we said it. These are the occupiers, these are the bad guys, these are the evil people. So then now everybody, or I don't mean everybody in terms of we all, but the larger population, the world will now turn against Israel. The hatred for them will be intensified. Actually, this week, there are countries where, and cities in the world where Jewish schools, some closed, security had to be intensified, some had to change their dressing, not to showcase that they are Jews and all that. This is because the hatred is really serious. The hatred is serious. So, but it's going to intensify more. And now you have more people being in support of the Palestinian cause, supporting the Palestine agenda, liberate Palestine. We are going to hear and see these things. There's a statement one of the Palestinian leaders made. Let me see if I can get it on my phone so that people can understand what this whole issue is about. Well, just hope I get it. No, I think I saved it too, but a minute. Okay. All right, you're listening to Issues of Life. This is Eben, Spirit 88.3 FM. And I believe I'm learning something this evening. Okay, So the Hamas leader said, okay, they've been preparing for 2 years for this, but he made a particular statement, and that's what I really want to look out for. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because it has to do with how the... Okay, maybe when I get it. But in summary, I wanted to really quote it, but the statement virtually is saying that this Palestinian cause, it's a call for all Muslims in the world. See? So now let's get the picture right. If they say this cause, the Palestinian cause, is for all Muslims in the world, then what does it mean for the Christian? Where do you fit in? I mean, this is a simple logic. If the Palestinian cause is for all Muslims in the world, then what about the Christian? What is your... Where do you stand in this equation? On whose side do you then belong to? Can you then also be on that side? Think about it. You see, we people should not just be moved by emotions. Oh, you see the propaganda, the truth and the false and misinformation, disinformation, whatever it is. But the bottom line is, it's not about being emotional based on what you are seeing in the media. It's about the fundamentals, the root cause, the spiritual implications. These are the things that should dictate how we Christians see this thing. So it's not about what you are told by the media. No. Yes, it's good to be informed. It's good to know. It's good to see what's happening and all. But we should have a fundamental understanding that this has a spiritual implication. And as believers, this is where we stand. As Christians, this is our belief and this is where we stand. So it's very sad and disheartening when you have Christians flip-flopping and Christians criticizing and Christians virtually condemning Israel and actually even Christians siding with the Palestinians in their protests. I mean, come on. Oh, no. You see, it's like someone said something some years back that Christians are the only religion who don't have a full grip of what they believe in. Of course, not every Christian, but largely. It's like we flip-flop. We don't have a real fundamental basis for what we stand for. So we are just swayed by emotions. We are just swayed by the system. You hear this, we move. You hear this, we move. But the other religions, no. What they believe in, they stand by it. But no, not Christians. In the times ahead, you'll be seeing and you'll be hearing Christians debating. Christians will be debating whether the Palestinians are right or the Israel is right. Christian pastors will be debating these things. You'll be hearing and seeing these things. And you ask yourself, why should we get to this point where Christians who should have been on the same side will now switch camps and be on the other side? Well, that's how the world is. We are in very interesting times. When Jesus talks of take heed no one deceives you, it cuts across all these deceptions in the end times. Oh, yes. I mean, if you read Matthew 24 extensively, you realize he talks about deception more than once. All the other things he spoke about, it was just one. But deception alone, he talks about it. I think Matthew 24:4, and then 24:11, 24:24. That alone, three times. He talks about deception three times. Why? That means it's going to be so pervasive and strong that if you are not careful, you fall for the system. Oh, yes. You fall for the system. All right. So let's continue from where we were. And, very interesting. Very interesting. You know, you see, we have to stand our ground as believers. There should be no shame as to believing what the Word of God says. Oh, yes. You see, the world would intimidate you by making it look like Israel is the evil one. Oh, yes. All the media, they will now, all of them will turn against Israel and make it look like they are the bad ones. So even if you are a Christian and you understand the spiritual issues and all that, you will be intimidated to the point where you can't even stand and speak out, because it's like everybody around you is anti-Israel. You alone in your head know you are pro-Israel. So quietly you just sit to your sit somewhere quietly with your beliefs. But that's how the world has been in recent times, in terms of the system intimidating and bullying, and if you are not careful, causing you to change your understanding of thinking on issues. Let's stand our ground. It doesn't matter how, if everybody is against Israel and you alone are for them, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Of course, nobody is saying, I'm asking you to go and wear their flag and move around making noise over. No. I mean, there's no need to make noise or debate or argue with people. Your duty as a believer, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let's obey that and do that. That's the least we can do. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. As simple as that. It's in the Bible. This is not Eben asking you to pray for them. This is the Word of God saying pray for them. What's difficult about it? There are a lot of things to pray for regarding this. There are Christians in Palestine praying for them to be delivered, to be protected, praying for, this is the time where Israel needs to be saved. Israel needs the Messiah. There are few Jews who are the Messianic Jews who are really born again Christian. The larger part of them are not. And for those who don't know, when you talk of the LGBT, the gay pride and all that, Tel Aviv, Israel has one of the strongest bases for these LGBT guys. You see, so when it comes to salvation, they need it. So praying for them to be saved is another important prayer to pray as Christians. Oh yes, it's important to pray for them as well. They need to be saved. And God would have to remember them at the appointed time. So we have to pray for them. So we shouldn't be moved by what the media will be trying to persuade you to hate them. No. Let others do. But you, a listener of Issues of Life, don't join the masses. I mean, I'm giving you advance notice of what is going to start happening in the next few days and weeks as we go on and this war intensifies. So that's one scenario. The other scenario is already Hezbollah is one of the deadly terrorist groups in the Middle East. They have their last count and their last boosting, whatever they had. They have at least 150,000 missiles and they are ready to fire on Israel. This one, the Hamas people claim they fired 5,000 missiles, but Hezbollah has 150,000 more powerful ones provided by Iran. Actually, Hezbollah is a direct appendage of Iran. I mean, direct. They are based in Lebanon. And Lebanon itself hasn't had a stable system. So this morning, for instance, they fired some missiles from Lebanon and Israel retaliated. You see, so the tension 2 days ago, Israel destroyed 2 airports in Syria. You see, so already the fight is not just Israel-Palestine alone. It extends beyond their borders to some extent. At least this week, Israel has fired on Syria. Destroyed 2 airports, has fired on Lebanon, that's against Hezbollah. And there's a lot of pressure on Hezbollah and Iran not to get into the war directly, because they know the international system, they know that if they are to join, it really changes the whole equation in the Middle East. Oh yes, it changes everything. But as to how far it can go to push them to join, well, only time will tell. We don't know exactly. But as Israel really plays hard on the Palestinians in Gaza Strip, we don't know the trigger that would make infuriate the Arab countries to say that, hey, enough is enough. We are coming to protect our brothers. We are coming to join them. That's another scenario, because in the last few weeks, Saudi Arabia and Israel were having talks on normalization, on business, and a whole lot of things. But because of what is happening and Israel retaliating, Saudi is putting it on the ice, and now they are looking at the Saudi prince has called Iran by phone. It's a very rare thing, because Saudi and Iran technically are like enemies, but they've spoken, and Saudi is looking at strengthening that relationship at the expense of Israel because of what is happening. You see, so this whole thing can turn into something. And you see, if you look at the map of Israel, Israel is surrounded by Egypt, Lebanon, Syria. All these technically are enemies of Israel. You see, so if you have Egypt, you have Lebanon, you have Syria, Jordan, technically these are all enemies of Israel. So then it means if they all get angry, Israel being surrounded and all, these are prophecies which can happen. So the issue is as to whether what is happening now can extend and become a bigger prophecy fulfilling in terms of Psalm 83 and Ezekiel 38 and all these prophecies which are yet to happen, where the enemies of Israel surround them, the Gog and Magog war. All these are future wars, but in terms of the future, the duration, the timelines, well, we can't know. It could be that this current war can turn into that eventually. But so far as it hasn't turned into it, well, we go by whatever we have now. So this whole thing can become far more complex then, because if Iran, let's say, decides to come in fully, that means with the friends of Israel. But really speaking, Israel has just one good close friend, that's America. But the America that we know now, in terms of the government, the president that we know now, cannot be trusted. For now, yes, they are giving U.S. ammunition. They moved the biggest aircraft carrier strike group towards the Middle East and all that. But as I said, a time will come when they will turn their back against Israel as well. At a time when Israel will be surrounded by its enemies, it will be like the 1967 war. They had to fight it alone. They fought it alone, and God moved. I mean, there are several testimonies, miracles that happened, testimonies you can read about some of those reports. It was virtually these nations, Egypt and Jordan and all, it was as if they were fighting God directly, because God indeed had to save Israel, and he did. You see, so when people make it look like Israel today is not the same as the Israel of old, the same things we read in the Old Testament where God fought for Israel and saved them in various wars, he's done some in our generation. So it's not some out of place thing for God to fight for them. And for God, not too long ago, there was one I read on this where the Palestinians fired missiles towards Israel, and then they themselves testified that it's as if a hand turns the missile in the air away from its target. At this time, Israel had not invented their intercepting various systems that intercept the missiles in the air now. They didn't have that system. But the Palestinians fire the missile, and they can see that the missile has just curved in the air away from its target. If it's not God, who else would do that in the air for them? They didn't have that technology then. You see, there is the spiritual aspect of this whole thing we are talking about. As believers, we should understand it. Unbelievers don't understand these dynamics we are talking about. So they would just say anything and everything they feel like saying and be emotional about it and attack Israel as if they are the evil and all that. I mean, don't be worried. Don't get into unnecessary arguments with people when they are up to those things. You know, I mean, these days, there's one thing I'm learning, or like I live by. I mean, if people want to be in their error, fine. I mean, be there. I mean, because if you are not ready to change your mind or learn what is right, and you still want to stick with your wrong info, fine. It's your choice. You see, so we shouldn't be bothered. Office people be arguments. Israel is bad. They are this. They are killing the Palestinians. They are this. Just be quiet and just watch them. Then they ask you, so what do you think? Well, I stand by what the word of God says. Pray for them. That's all. Simple. You see, we don't waste time on unnecessary things these days as believers. Oh, no. Don't waste time. So that is it. And I believe as we have this fundamental understanding, God willing, next week I'll be getting into some of the history as well, and then some of the prophecies regarding Israel, will be talking about it. And I believe as we get this understanding, it will help us to know where we are spiritually regarding the times we are in. And as I said, I'm repeating it again, that the end, and this is not the end, no, but it's a signage, a sign still pointing towards more things to come. Jesus said it, that we've not reached the end. When you see wars, you hear of wars and rumors of wars, it's not the end. So for those who are scared and worried, but even as believers, I'm using this advisedly, if even it is the end, it's not still for a better cause, going to heaven. But you see, we sometimes get so hooked to the world system that it's like we just don't want to hear about the fact that Jesus is coming, we are not in the end time, you are the end time. No. So some who say that, they get scared and all that. But actually the truth is, the least we can do is to just live right. Do what is right. Be in right standing with God anytime and all the time. That's the least we can do as Christians. You see, so it doesn't mean we can be careless because, oh, Jesus is not coming today, so let's be careless today. But the probability of, someone said something the other time, that the probability of you meeting Christ earlier through death can be higher than you meeting him through the rapture. So what about that? That means you also have to be ready in terms of living right. As and when he calls you home, fine, you're still in good standing with him. See, so that we should see life from this perspective, so that we are just not careless and live anyhow, thinking, oh, there's more room to misbehave and be careless about things. No, let's do what is right. Let's walk as the word of God directs us to. See, if there's ever a time for us to be more connected to the Holy Spirit, I believe these are the times, because we are getting to the point where the move of the Holy Spirit is going to happen as well. The world, you see, Israel, in as much as it's like the signage, also signifies spiritual timings. So with this war happening, it also then has a spiritual connotation, that spiritually to the season has changed. Oh yes. And the truth is, the Jewish calendar this year, I mean, you see, their calendar starts in the Jewish feast. So in the September, the Jewish calendar starts. And this, the new year for the Jewish calendar is 5784, which has the symbol of open doors. So it's, we've entered the season of open doors in various ways and various things. So you see, the spiritual calendar itself starts per the Jewish calendar, and then we using the Gregorian calendar will start January 1st next year. But a lot of times, if you really do the studies well, you realize a lot of the spiritual things that starts in the beginning of the year, that's in the Jewish calendar, eventually unfolds in the normal calendar, when we get to start it at the beginning of the next year, that's the normal calendar in January 1st. You see, so these are signals for us as believers. When you see these things, that means then let's get closer to God in prayer, because the signals are not that good. War is not a good thing, and it comes with a whole lot of consequences and all. But we can only pray. Pray for ourselves, pray for our families, pray for salvation of people, pray for God's deliverance, pray for God's protection. These are, we have to pray. We just cannot look at, oh, it's over there, middle list, fire home. I mean, no. You see, the one element, one surprise, the surprising element of this whole thing is what gives me a better understanding of when they say peace and safety and sudden destruction. I mean, Israel didn't expect this. No, they didn't expect it at all. So it's like they were at peace, having the Jewish, festivals, Saturdays, Sabbath. And, so it was a complete shocker. And so you see, when 1 Corinthians chapter 5 talks of when they say peace and safety and sudden destruction, the Israel issue last Saturday is an example of how this world as we know it can turn overnight. Oh yes, it can turn overnight. You sleep, by the time you wake up, the world as we know, we knew it before we slept, is different in the morning, in terms of this has happened there, this is happening there, and because of that, the corresponding chain effect, chain reaction of this, that government has given this directive, this policy. The world as we know it can change overnight suddenly. And this sudden attack on Israel gives us an example of how things can just turn around within a short time. Oh yes, within a short time. But we as believers should stand as believers and live as believers. This evening, that's my admonition and encouragement to you. And I believe we'll be talking more about this Israel thing. So we'll get into some history, Bible prophecies, and all that as well. And, well, as we are in the season, we'll be talking about it. You know, and we'll also be learning, because I mean, these are the times when unbelievers would now come to believers to ask questions, and sometimes it will be very unfortunate when they think you should know and you don't know. So we'll be talking about some of these things so that people can also learn and understand the whys and the whens and the whos and the whats regarding Bible prophecy, regarding Israel and all that. That's the essence of this program, and I believe you've been blessed this evening. Let me see, I have some messages. Okay, we have, okay. Joe says, okay, may the Lord help Israel. Okay, and then this one, okay, I'll respond. Okay, all right, I'll respond to the rest directly. Yeah, so I believe that is it, and let's keep praying. Let's keep praying. Let's keep praying. That's the most important we can do. Yes. Let's keep praying. And as we pray, God Himself will lead us. The Holy Spirit will direct us as to how to pray. Because you see, He knows things we don't know, of course. He knows things that we do not know. And I believe if we give Him that free hand to help us to pray, it will be more effective and it will be more focused. And I believe as we get into these times of, you know, wars and rumors of wars and all that, we also have to understand that Bible prophecy is sure. I mean, there's no book like the Word of God, because you see how things just align and how things just unfold. And I believe that's why it's important we start. Those who don't know things have to learn. The significant thing about this attack was it happened exactly 50 years. You know, the Yom Kippur War in 1973. It's exactly 50 years that this attack took place. And that's quite significant. Like, exactly 50 years. And so it's for those who saw that war and are seeing this, it's quite a shaking thing for them there. And there are even some who survived the Holocaust who have also been taken as hostages. So you can imagine there is a whole traumatic thing for these people. I mean, the Israeli soldiers went into Gaza Strip. They started the operation there, but they've started seeing dead bodies of some of the Jews, the hostages that were taken. And it doesn't look good. I mean, most likely these people, when... They are ready to die. One leader said that they are ready to be martyrs, and they know the Israelites or the Israelis, they love life. So it's like, look, that's how it is. You are facing someone who doesn't care, killing himself with a bomb, suicide bomb or whatever, and you who wants to leave and go back home to your family. So It's more difficult for the Israeli soldiers and all that in such scenarios, because you are fighting an enemy who has given up in life already, because to them, well, there's no purpose in living, and they have a reward in killing themselves or being part of a martyrdom. So it's a good thing to rather die than to live. So this whole thing can become more complicated for the Israeli soldiers, because as they go in, they will be facing all sorts of scenarios. But well, let's keep praying for those who believe and understand these things I'm talking about. Let's pray for them. So good night and God bless you. This is Eben. It will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and the Telegram group as well. For those who want to maybe send a message or clarification or something, my number is same: 0244-638-757. So good night and God bless you.